night to see brethren communicating with each other and having to be told, hey, stop talking to each other. There are some congregations where you don't really have to worry about that, and that's a sad commentary. I owe the Lord my faithfulness, and again, I'm speaking to myself, so I do that sometimes. I talk with me and to me. I don't know what, well, I've already told you I'm crazy, so. But what I owe the church, if we reverse our thinking, so, well, what does the church owe me and my family? No, what do I have to offer the church? Certainly my faithfulness, as the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. That means I really believe that God will keep his word. He is faithful. I believe that. And if I live that way, then you will see, based upon my decisions, that, and I didn't want to use men. I don't use me that often as an example. I just remember when I was being taught the gospel, the preacher, he was very stern and very direct. He said, Mr. Grant, if you put God first, you'll never be last. As when you will never lack anything. And I can tell you the Lord has kept his word, and he did just what he promised in his word. He has done it and done it quite well. I am not deserving of all of the blessings I have been given, but that's what the Lord does for his people. And isn't he so generous as to look out to a certain degree on the physical side for so many others? But then there's blessings you and I, who are members of the church, that we can enjoy according to Ephesians 1:3. Let's look at three illustrations. The Lord, my finances. And I always do this in the informal setting because of the obvious. Oh, the Lord, my finances. Again, that's me speaking singularly. I owe the Lord my finances. Now, does not the Bible teach us that if I have taken on a family, I got a wife, I have children, then that I have obligations to them, do I not? And I am to take care of my family. I am to provide for my family. But see, even that has a ceiling. Because if I am taking care of my family to the point that I'm neglecting to give to the Lord, then I'm in sin. And that means, to whom I give my what? To whom I give my loyalty on the greater end, in a sense, they become my God. Some people's families are their God. They want their children to have the best of everything. I often say, as long as they're under my roof and I take care of them, my children will not wear anything that bears the name Jordan. And the reason being is, those are his shoes, got his name on. And I'm not going to pay that much money for a pair of tennis shoes that they make for $2 over in somewhere in the Oriental world. But, you know, you have members who don't even give it a second thought because they have bought into the system. And always remember, we are a nation living within a what? In a nation. And so those of us who were in the military, but just a quick show of hands, how many of us were in the military? I mean, so we understand, and we understood then. I'll never forget this when they told us that, yes, you live under the Constitution, but more so, you live under the UCMJ. And so that's why you've seen sometimes in the not too dear past, people were, distant past rather, you know, they were going beyond what the UCMJ said that they could do in a uniform. And people out in the, as we say, in the civilian world, they say, oh, why are they, quote, picking on them? Why are they doing? No, because they are violating what the UCMJ says. And you and I, we have, as it were, a constitution, don't we? We have a constitution. It's called the 27 books that make up the New Testament. It tells us, it guides us in what we do. So as members of the Lord's church, if we work together as a unified body, and our hearts and minds are set on what goals, the goals that the Lord has set forth. Now, it's okay for the elders to set goals, but those goals, of course, must be in accordance with God's word. Then they are the ones who provide the vision to the church, and it's for the church to get behind the elders because the elders are executing their duties the way God says. And when the church is working together the way God says, so many problems that exist in the church universally or on the individual level congregationally, you know, those churches, those problems won't even exist I always tell your friends, the church has two sides. On the divine side, there are no problems, never have been. They are in perfect agreement and harmony. Where do the problems take place in the church? On the human side, doesn't it? Huh? Does it not? Now, why does God want us to give? So I'm going to make this so informal. Why does God want us to give? Why does he command that we give? Man?
I said ourselves.
Yes, he commands that we give ourselves. But why does he command us individually to give?
Thankfulness.
Thankfulness? I heard something. We've been given because he gave to us. What we prospered. Because we can know that he's in control. All good answers. Any others? Spread the gospel. All of those are good answers. Now, there is something we don't talk about much in America and in the church today. Israel had a problem with idolatry, didn't it? Did it not? Idolatry. Israel had a problem, a major problem with idolatry. Now, you know, you go back to Exodus 25 and 26, you know, when they were, God had commanded that Israel, let me go back a little bit. Think about Israel. They were just recently emancipated from years of what? Oppression and slavery, right? So in essence, they really had nothing. And the Lord commanded Moses to tell Israel to bring freewill offerings of silver, fine linen, things of that nature. Now, he had a reason for their doing so, and it was the tabernacle and all the associated equipment was going to be built from their offering. But you think about, why would God ask people who just recently emancipated or freed from slavery, who for their whole life never had anything, why is he requiring them to give? Huh? Why is he requiring? You know, I'm going somewhere with this because, you know, some of us say, I grew up, we didn't have anything. And what do people do now? They try to make up for lost time, don't they? How many of us in here only have one television in our home? I'm getting there. How many of us have no televisions in our home? See? Now, I commend you. But now we're living in a time in which people have what? Television in every room, literally, don't they? And it's funny, the garage never serves the purpose that it for which it was built. There's stuff, I'm going to leave it like that, in the garage, isn't it? And you park the cars with outside because there's what? There's stuff in my garage and I don't have enough what? Stuff. If you buy into what America promotes, so you have you ever waken up early in the morning, you just couldn't sleep and you just turn on your television? Now, what's on that television mostly? Some infomercial or QVC, something you don't need, but somebody's trying to tell you how to get rich or become successful, self-sufficient. Isn't that what's on that time in the morning? Right? And why do you think those people are on there? Because they know people are gullible enough or people have the desires. They are appealing to the desires of people. Now, can a man covet stuff? Can he hoard stuff to the point that stuff becomes his what? His God. So the reason God commands us to give is so that we won't become idolatrous. You say, oh, no, yes, because some of us in here got stuff in our closet, still have the tags on it. We never want it. But I had to have it because so-and-so was having a sale, and I had to get it. But then now the missionary comes through and he or she asks, or rather he asks and his family say, we need your continued support. And, oh, let's take a love offering. One little offering, give them a few hundred dollars, and that calms our conscience because I really did. I gave, didn't I? I gave. You gave what? God told recently emancipated people to give, and give from the heart, and give a free will offering for what purpose? See, it was to help them. So the major reason God commands you and me to give is to help me. Not what I'm going to get in return. That's what a lot of, no, that shouldn't be your motivation. Someone answered correctly. I give because he has already, what? Given to me. So when I recognize I owe the church my finances. Now, are we telling you give your entire salary to the church? That's not what we're talking about. But brother or sister, let's say you were added to the body in 1999. And at that time you decided you were going to give. You said, well, I'm going to give the Lord 5% of my salary. But now, look how many years have elapsed. And if I'm giving the same percentage, what am I actually saying to the Lord? What am I saying to the Lord? That's all you'll ever be in my eyes. It worth just what? 5%. Now, this is not a theory. The closer you grow to the Lord, the less things mean to you. So, if I've been in the church for years and years and years, and my wife, she would never make it into the attic. You're not taking stuff up there like you did before. You're not doing that. And we are constantly giving things away, not to say, hey, look at us. No. I say, when you give to somebody who has need, why will you give them the things you don't want anymore? Why is that? Why do you want to give away your worn out outfit from 1985? Why is that the case? What about the marvelous ministry of the many women who supported the Lord? Mary Magdalene. You know why Mary Magdalene gave so much? Wasn't she forgiven? Wasn't she forgiven of her many sins? And out of a heart of thankfulness, out of a heart of thoughtfulness, out of a heart of appreciation, she and other women pooled their monies together. And did they not support the Lord and those who were with him in their ministry? So they recognized, I can't go out and preach like the Lord because I'm restricted, but the Lord was able to preach because the ministry of those women allowed him to do what? To focus in on the priority. And the priority was to train those men to be his personal ambassadors to the world and to provide his substance. That's what they did. She was one of them. His own mother supported his ministry, did she not? And so the reason why God commanded Israel, the reason why he commands us today to give freely, we need to teach our neighbors we can't go on television or the radio and beg for money. Why? Because God doesn't need the support. He doesn't want the support. He doesn't desire the support of those who are not a part of the body. That has been the case forever. You go back, Abraham had that encounter with whom? Melchizedek. Did he not? You see the principle there. And as time progresses throughout the scriptures, the same precept, the same type of giving is required. So we don't ever ask anyone to give to the cause for which you and I say is most important to us. We are part of this cause, the cause of Christ. We give for what reason? Because we have been blessed. And he's doing what with us? He's trying to help us not so love things to the point that we are what? We are worshiping those what? Those things, those idols. See, the word idol has always been evil. American is evil. That word has always been evil. You don't take a word that God says is evil and then you try to turn it and make it good. So they're taking an evil word. Idolatry is still an evil word. Brother Brad, I didn't think about that. The word idol is still, and it will forever be, an evil word in the eyes of God. I must let God define words. I was sharing this with the elders and Dalton last night. You'll never hear me call someone, quote, gay. I'm not doing it. I'll never do it. I'm going to call them what God calls them. Brother Grant, you're not politically correct. Shoal ain't. That's what they say way out. Shoal ain't. Let's look at the mighty Macedonians. We already know their story, don't we, in 2 Corinthians? Don't we know them? Know them where we've studied. We've had lessons on giving and finances. And so if I have not given as I have been prospered, and lo, these many years, what am I saying to the Lord as a member of his body? What am I saying to him? And then I got to start thinking, how many good works, not only at this congregation, but how many good works that I've heard of that I could have given financial support to that I did not, because, see, and a lot of brethren, you know, if I judge myself by myself, I'm pretty good. You know, I'm a pretty good fella. I do this, I do that. Wait a minute, hold up. Wasn't there a man in Luke 18 who he went to God in the temple? And he wasn't really praying. The Bible said he really kind of spoke to himself because God was really not paying him any attention. And he told God how good he was. Now, that's how we get sometimes. We have that pharisaical attitude. Maybe not to the extreme of most of their activities, but when I give, as we look at what the Bible says about them in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he said, "Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, entreating or praying us with much entreaty, they were begging, pleading with the brethren that." Elders, have anyone ever said, "Can we put the offering first? I just want to give." They've never asked you to move the service. You can move the acts of worship around. "I'm just so anxious to give to the church, to the Lord, that I need. I hate to say it. You may never see this in our lifetime. But he's saying of these brethren that they were poor and they were experiencing difficulties. But did they ever lose their focus? So that's what faith does for us. It will allow us to keep our what? Keep our focus. Now, they understood that was something far greater than not having all of your physical needs met. They understood that. They understood that there were brethren in another part of the world who were suffering far more than they in their eyes. Now, they had never met these brothers before. How many times have brethren have come and the elders allowed them to make a presentation, and there has been no connection made in my mind with these brethren and what they're saying, because, say, I'm so tied down. I'm so burdened down with my debt. I can't give as I have been prospered because, well, I got to do this, 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 and I have my children and all of these extracurricular activities, and, oh, we're so burdened down. Because we have fallen for the American nightmare. We have fallen for it. And we work overtime sometimes so that my child may go here or may go there and be a part of this. But if I teach him that the extracurricular activity that he or she is involved in is more important than serving the Lord, wonder what may happen to them in the future. I teach my children how to give. I teach them that God, I had a discussion with his brother, and I'm not going to mention him too much this week. He told me I give from my net. I said, "You do." And he got mad at that when he got mad with me on so many occasions. He wanted me to understand that you give to the Lord from your net with your take-home pay. I said, oh, no, you don't. So he wanted to have a discussion. And he wanted to turn it into a debate. And I told you, I said, brother, the scripture is going to still say what they say. I said, please explain to me what the Lord means in Matthew 6:33. I said, because if you go back up in that, isn't he talking about money? You got to choose if you're going to serve God or you're going to serve whom? Money. Now, we can look nice in our suits. We got our hair made up, haircut, and we look so, what? So pristine in our service to God by our appearance. But if I'm not giving to the Lord as I have been prospered, am I cheating the church? That was a question. See that big question mark, man? Am I cheating the church? I'm cheating the church, am I not? Because I'm taking the Lord's money and I'm giving it to whom? JCPenney, Steinmar, Ross, Belt. I'm giving it to this organization, that organization. Oh, I'm going to get a little personal now. You heard me say, if I'm the head of my house, I got to answer for every penny I spend in my house as the man of my house. Is that not right? Oh, come on, man. Oh, see, oh, get a little personal. I want my wife to have her hair looking just the way she wants it, for the most part. But she knows there's a price I won't pay. Ladies, getting your hair done every week, that could become costly. Right? I grew up in a house, and I shared this last night. I knew what the word budget meant when I was 7 years old. I knew what that word meant. So if you were told the budget won't allow, that means end of discussion. End of discussion, don't ask anymore. And kids will come home and say, oh, but budget won't allow. That was it. That simple statement, the budget won't allow. All five of us understood what that meant. The budget won't allow. We will never ask, what do you want to eat? We will never ask that. We were told you can eat it or else. That's what we were told. But now I make decisions today, and I'm saying that to say, that seed was planted in me at 7 years old. I still live by that today. I did not know at the time that my mother was teaching me biblical principles. And I live by them today. Now, I'm not comparing myself with my siblings, but I am. There were five of us. Sally, the oldest girl, she was the middle child. She passed. But three of us took that advice. Now, one recovered. She made poor choices, but she recovered. So three of us technically followed the instructions that were taught us as children. And I say this here to the oldest and the youngest, we knew there was some favoritism. There was no doubt about it. They made some choices. And the three in the middle, me and my other two sisters, we used to always say, we can't count on the bookends. We already know what the bookends are going to do. And we were in our late 20s and 30s. We have already decided the bookends will not be able, because of the choices they're presently making, and you see the trending, what's going to happen. So what happened? Just, they kind of told you what they were going to do with their lives. I have things just like you have things. I have stuff just like you have stuff. One thing I learned early in my Christian walk, you give to the Lord the way you should, the way you have been prospered, the Lord will take care of all your needs. Who in here has not had not only the needs met, but many of your wants you have had since you've been walking with the Lord. Have you not? So what do I do with my finances? If I'm not giving to the Lord, and I say this as plainly and clearly and as lucidly as I can. If I'm spending so much money on this, when do I buy a car? When do I buy a car? See, technically when I need another what? Another car. My first car I purchased, it was so funny, my family used to pick at me because I used to piece that thing back together. And they used to tell me that thing is trying to let you know it wants to go to the junkyard. See, it's foolish now if this car is breaking down every other month. Mine wasn't doing that. But I just believe in getting my money's worth. Let the car work for you, not you work for the what? Work for the car. In secret, you can tell me about somebody you know who bought a car and now they had to park that car way down in the parking lot away from other cars because they don't want anybody to, you don't know it. You can tell. I won't tell anybody. I won't tell a soul. Because I know no one in the church has ever done that. What do we do with God's money? I could get back up here and preach. I said, but no, I'm not going to do that. The Macedonians, weren't they poor? Didn't they have needs? What did we learn from the Macedonians? You know, Philippi was a church in Macedonia. Who supported Paul the most? Philippi. Who was Epaphroditus? He's only mentioned once in Scripture. Who was he? He wasn't a big name brother in the brotherhood. I don't know if he were an elder in the church, a deacon or whatever. All he was a member of the Lord's church who volunteered to make certain that Paul had his needs met while he was away from him. So, wait a minute. Because some brethren would say, well, I would give more if I... Isn't that the old song that has been sung for the longest in the church? Oh, but then you see that same brother or sister come in with something new. You did have more. But you gave it to the church of J.C. Penney, didn't you? Huh? The church of Belk? It's not our fault because they have put all of these, what? All of these retail stores on the same strip. And when I ride by, what happens? Lord, I'm trying, but they just put another one up there. You ever heard the prayer the young boy prayed about ice cream? You ever heard that prayer? You heard that prayer, didn't you? Who haven't heard that prayer? You never heard that prayer? He prayed that the Lord, that the ice cream man won't come around down his street that day. He was trying to buy him a baseball bat. And he said, Lord, keep the ice cream man off of my street so I can buy me a... So he was trying to save his money. Seriously. We give free will offerings from our private what? Prosperity. For what reason? To prevent us from being what? Idolaters. Because I had some sisters mad at me. I started seeing all these pocketbooks pop up with MK on it. I was like, what is that? So curious as I am, I go and ask. Oh, okay. Boy, I mean, when I asked, I said, what does that mean? So like five or six of them said it in unison. Michael something, Core. So I'm a little nosy, so I have to go and check out. $300 for a pocketbook. Well, of course, I got me a sermon from there. $300 for a pocketbook? Do y'all not remember, some of us ain't old enough, Chrysler had, you remember Fantasy Island? See, you weren't even on the planet yet, Dalton. Fantasy Island. Who was the main character on Fantasy Island? Ricardo whom? Remember when he did that commercial for Chrysler? And I used to say, rich Corinthian. What does that mean? What does that mean? Nothing. Now, have you ever, you've been driving down the road, a country road. A lot of people don't know how this area was not long ago. How Duval County was not long ago. Have you ever, you're just driving in your car and you saw some cows over in the pasture. Have you ever just stopped, got out and just observed the beauty of the cows? You've ever done that? Now, some people say, yeah, I'm going somewhere with this. Now, they want us to think that that cowhide that they have painted and, you know, prettied up, it is so alluring that I got to pay you so many extra dollars just for some what? Some cowhide. You know, people say, oh, my mother loves to watch this show called Swamp People. I said, what are you? Then I, never mind, Mama. They kill alligators for a living. But now somebody's trying to sell me a pair of alligator shoes for $800. I said, nah, there's nothing wrong with shoes made out of cows I got on I paid $57 for. But now I got to pay you $800 for a pair of. You've seen alligators before, haven't you? Aren't they the most beautiful creatures on the planet? Not. Christianity makes your life simple. That's seriously. It makes your life simple. That's what it does. It absolutely, if you will allow it. That prescription of prosperity that God has given us, it's not about money. It's about enriching your life. So let me challenge you here, those of you who are members. And if you have been challenging yourself and giving more every year as God has prospered, you say, well, the Lord hadn't prospered me. Yes, he has. Well, I haven't gotten a pay raise in 5 years. He still hasn't prospered yet. How so? You're here, aren't you? If you got your health, you're a rich man, aren't you? Who in this audience is under 40? Who in this audience is under 40?
Under 40.
Under 40. Don't raise your hand, brother. He thought I said two times 40. Let me tell you what happens in life in your 20s, your teens and 20s. You know, that medicine cabinet doesn't mean anything to you. You put all your perfume, all your, you smell good in there. That's what that medicine cabinet means. And as you progress in age, what does that medicine cabinet begin to mean to you? It takes on its original purpose, doesn't it? You got a pill for this and a pill for that. In case these two pills don't work, you may have another pill. That medicine cabinet takes on its original purpose, originally intended purpose, doesn't it? That's what it does. Why? Because as you progress in life, you know, people say, when I graduated from high school, I wore 150 pounds. Well, technically, you still do, don't you? You still wear 150 pounds. It is still there. You're still you. What happened? You just picked up some stuff along the way. See, if you have your health, God has blessed you with your health. That's a reason to give to him. For what reason? It goes back to meditation. That's what it goes back to, meditation. And you look at Mary Magdalene. Why did she give so much to the Lord? To whom much is given? No. Yes. But she gave because she was forgiven of so many what? So many sins. She gave because I could have gotten up here and preach. I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm appealing to you as members of this church, of this body. What am I to do? I am to examine my life. I said, Lord, I may have to just go in my closet, go in my attic, go in my garage. This stuff I purchased with your money. What am I to do with it now? I haven't done anything with it. What am I to do with it? There are some people who have legitimate needs. I can do what? Meet their needs. And then I can look at my budget. Am I giving too much to this? Too much to this? Am I giving too much to... And I'm not giving to the Lord and his cause. Will a man rob God? You know what they were doing at the time? They were taking their what? They were offering to God, but what type of offerings were they giving at that time? The offerings he told them don't bring. He said, always bring your first what? Why would God made them dedicate their firstborn? That same thought. Give God your best. Give him your best. Hannah had it right. She understood. We're going to preach on that. What do I owe the church? I owe the church my family. She understood. We'll deal with that. But I owe the church my finances. I'm not giving to those elders. You never have been given to the elders. Who told you you're giving to the elders? They're just custodians. That's who they are. They're custodians of what? What has been given to the church's treasury. So when I give to the Lord, I put it in the church's treasury. How they disperse the funds, they will have to answer for it. I can guarantee you without even having talking with these brethren. If you want to know what are we, I guarantee you can sit down with the elders. But now I love it. Some brethren want to oversee the elders. Now we need to know what's going on. Let me say this as clearly as I can. If you want to become an elder and you want to do what elders do, doesn't the Bible say he that a man should aspire to become? What are we to do with what we have been given? Is it wrong to buy a new pair of shoes when you need them? No. But what if I got 8 pair of black shoes? We got 8 pair of black shoes. Well, these shoes go better with this. I can talk about my own wife because she's my wife. One day while we were living in an apartment, I didn't know what had happened. All I heard was, boom! Man, we're looking, we're trying to see. I said, man, what is going on? It sounded like almost like an earthquake. Finally went and opened the closet she had. So much weight on top of that shelf. That shelf literally gave up the ghost. So much. And I said, that's it? I said, we're getting boxes? I see going through this closet, and we are going to take stuff. We have a rescue mission. We do good work helping people out. We took that. And it's funny when you ask people, say, don't you feel better? No, they don't feel better because they want to hold on to that what? That stuff. If I have the mindset of Achan, I could have made this statement in the first minute of my as it were lesson and could have sat down. Because he coveted stuff, other people suffered because of his selfish acts. His own family suffered. His whole entire family suffered because he was attempting to rob God. Did not the Lord tell them, when you go and you defeat these nations and you take those items, the spoils, you are to give that to whom? To me. And he decided, like some of our brethren today, I am going to keep the spoils for myself to the detriment of his own soul and family. So have I cheated my family? Have I cheated myself? Have I cheated the church? If there's nothing else this entire week, I want to say, Lord, let me look at how I prioritize my spending. There's nothing wrong with getting a new car if I need that new car. But if I go out, you've had this happen, the man tells you, see, you can afford a $40,000 car. Some people fall for that, don't they? But what about the Lord's work? What about his work? If I keep that mindset of the mighty Macedonians, then I understand stuff is temporary, but my relationship with him, as I am laying up treasures in heaven, so if I have my health and have my family and have my sound mind, and I have a relationship with God, I'm the most what? Wealthy, or the wealthiest person on the planet. Why? Because I understand he wants me to be rich in good works, and we'll talk about that. I believe my time is up. Yeah, okay. And so, what are we to do? I'm going to turn it over into the hands of whom? Are we wait for them to...
second third round already.
Yes.
We'll be dismissed, and we're going to head into